Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Monday, June 20th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 10, reading the first paragraph, which begins with, "To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man." Today's readers are Terry H., Rhonda R., Lois P., Mary B., and Barbara W. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 19085, and that was our Sunday special edition. That's 19085. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting was 19086. That's 19,086, the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for today. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practices of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. Recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all the defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much for your service, Terry H. And Rhonda R., please read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. And just again, a little reminder, we're on page 10, paragraph 1. That's what we'll be reading and commenting on today. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 10, paragraph 1, and I will ask Lois P. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine, and good morning. Good morning, everyone. Lois P. here from and greatly recovered. No, excuse me. Greatly grateful and recovered in New York. This paragraph has gotten to me. To Christ, I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him. His moral teaching, most excellent. For myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest, I disregarded. When I was considering this paragraph, you know, I related it to my own spiritual development, and I see in Bill, he's beginning to awaken to what will then become his spiritual awakening. He sees in religion itself frailties. He sees people who may claim to be good church-going folks and yet do sometimes the most incredible crimes against each other, against humanity. He certainly is familiar with war. And he is beginning to see, I think, that in the representation of God in Christ, he finds the values that he says, the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him. There he sees the dichotomy between being religious and being truly spiritual, and he's claiming that. And I think this is a process I too went through, and that maybe some of us on the line have gone through, where the traditional religion that Bill saw was not enough. It wasn't satisfying. It seemed sometimes hypocritical to him. But yet, the man who represented that religion, Christ, to him, to Bill, he saw the relevance, the beauty and the perfection of the moral qualities that were expressed by Christ. And Bill is starting to own those. He says, for myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. It was easy for a good man, which Bill was, to see the justice and love and humility and caring for others, that those qualities were something in him that touched him, that he saw spoken about in Jesus Christ. And he was awakening to those qualities within himself and disregarding the rest, disregarding perhaps the traditional religious approach to life. It was the beginning, I think, of his true spiritual awakening. And certainly that happened for me and perhaps other people. When we separate from religion and we seek the true value of what it means to be truly human and what is the divine, who are we and what are we here for, I think these are the inner awakenings that's happening to Bill in this small paragraph. So thank you. I apologize for fumbling in the beginning. I was really taken by the paragraph. So thank you very much for allowing me to share.
Oh, thank you so much also. And please forgive me, everybody. I had given the wrong page, and that probably didn't help much either, Lois. Okay, well, thank you for your share. And although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on the last couple of days and would like to comment on this paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z.
Elaine G.
Elaine G.
Marietta P.
Marietta P. Anybody else?
Jordan L.
Roger V.
Jordan L. Jordan L. and Roger V.
Jody E.
Jody E. That sounds like a great lineup. We've got Annabelle Z, Elaine G, Marietta P, Jordan L, Roger V, and Jody E.
What page are we on?
We are on page 11, paragraph 1. Thanks for asking. Okay. So if you're not Annabelle Z, please press star 1 to mute your phone, and please share with us, Annabelle.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z from Washington State, recovered compulsive overeater. And I rarely share because I'm in my commute and I'm afraid no one can hear me, but I just wanted to share because it's been my experience. I just relate to Bill so much in this particular paragraph regarding, you know, the name of Jesus. It just, like, I was like cringe, absolute cringe when I came into program, in the Father program years and years ago. And I really related when I got married and my husband happened to be a Christian and I'm like, okay, whatever. So he took me to church and I would lean over to him during this sermon all the time going, always say that in AA, always say that in AA. And I was in AA at the time, not in OA yet, although I'd tried OA. But, and I used to just think, now I understand that these values, like the speaker started, Lois started out with, is these are moral values that we can grab onto that are the principles of the program, love and kindness, tolerance of others, things like making amends to those that we have harmed and making forgiving those who we resent. Those are all principles that, frankly, several religions embrace, if not all. And so I love that he saw what the important part of it was. And I wish I'd read this and studied it and understood it early on in my experience with the 12 steps. My experience today is very, very different. In fact, I go to church, and so it's just my experience, but I really related to that initial kind of like, whoa, I don't know about that and those people. And frankly, there's people in program that have plenty of time. I've experienced it over and over, time in recovery, yet are full of anger and resentment and denial and jealousy or whatever. And so I just have to do my program to stay away from that by connecting with my higher power every day. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Annabelle Z. Elaine G., you're up next.
A different twist on it. This is Elaine from New York. I'm Jewish, but you know, Christ in the ancient time was a preacher, very good man, you know. And what I see in this paragraph is that he's starting to believe in things other than what he believes in, you know, and he's taking what he feels is important, and leaving the rest, you know, and identifying with, as I say, Christ, and this is a good thing. Anyway, what else I want to say is that I go to church every once in a while, you know, and I just like to listen to the songs, this and that, the holiness, you know, and that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. Marietta P., you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Star 1 to unmute, please. Marietta P.
Marietta P. here, Buffalo Reader, recovered in Virginia. What came to mind right away with that reading of that paragraph, just bringing it back just to the program, is, you know, excuse me, in the early days I heard, take what you like and leave the rest, which meant, you know, don't do it step four, don't, you know, just, you know, and also, you know, I know many times I had said, oh, I was desperate, but always came in there, you know. As soon as I start feeling a little better, you know, the buts came in. And it also reminds me of other places in the big book where the people that have been approached, they're telling the guys doing the approaching that, oh yes, what you guys are saying is really good, but I'm not as bad as you guys. I don't ever intend to get as bad as you. And it just, that's what rang familiar with me, is that old saying, take what you like and leave the rest. And also, you know, like thinking that half measures will get us something. You know, if I put in 10%, at least I'll get 10% out. And the truth is, half measures avail us nothing. And that was a very hard concept to own. And, you know, and today, with God's grace, you know, I can say with God's grace, when I first came in the program, when I first heard about it, program, there was no way that I was going to, if you had told me 30 years ago, I'd be using God as much as I do in my speech and where are my alliances with, I would have said you were us, you know, and today I'm very, very content to be in a relationship with the God of my understanding. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Marietta P. That's a great place to be. Jordan L., followed by Roger V. Please share with us, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning, Elaine. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be here this morning, grateful for the rain that we got in Colorado yesterday and the day before. So first I want to say something real quick, and that's that there's no requirement for Overeaters Anonymous other than an honest desire to stop compulsively overeating. So when we talk about God, we talk about the God of your own understanding. When I talk about God, I talk about the God of my own understanding. And there's absolutely no other requirements around that whatsoever. I mentioned that just because we're talking about something very specific this morning, and I want to make sure that newcomers know that it's not a requirement, that this is part of Bill's personal story. It was an important piece that he wanted to include as part of his own story, and it is certainly not a requirement for anyone else. And I have to say, I was in the same boat as Bill. I had a religion from childhood that I had a lot of defiance and rebelliousness against when I got here. And so what I found was that I really had to open my mind not to be converted to some other person's way of thinking, I had to open my mind for me. I had to be in a state of openness in order to start to grasp the steps and some of the spiritual principles that we're talking about here, right? The essentials for a psychic change or a spiritual experience that's going to enable me to stay abstinent and do so happily. The essentials for that are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. So I really just focused in on those and whether or not I was being honest, I was being open, I was being willing. And I kind of disregarded what anyone else was saying because I understood that this was a journey that I was making with the God of my own understanding. And of course, found a guide, a sponsor to help me through these steps. But she made it very clear too, like there are no other requirements here. And that's important.
Gentle reminder.
That's it. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Good time. Thank you, Jordan. Okay, Roger V, you're up next, followed by Jody E.
Roger V from DTLA, downtown Los Angeles. Good morning, OA fam. Oh, I got a lot of thoughts about this. I was born and grew up Jewish, and Christ was used as a swear word growing up. We were not allowed to, you know, that's just what I remember the whole time. But to steal from Melissa C., if I hadn't found program or if God hadn't brought me to program, I wouldn't have needed God because I thought I was running the show. You know, like Sinatra said, I did it my way. I found AA. And, you know, it's through program that I have this relationship with God. And this Jewish boy found Jesus in program. And, you know, today, he's my rock, he's my salvation, he's my Prince of Peace. But it's very funny that now my Jewish heritage has become so much more important to me. And, you know, I never proselytize to anyone. Good people are just good people. Black, white, green, man, woman, Estados Unidos, Israel, America, wherever. But I like that I have this relationship. And I have it underlined for myself. I had adopted those parts which seem convenient and not too difficult. That's the story of my life. You know, alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, we're great starters but lousy finishers. And, you know, I never wanted to do anything that was too difficult. So, you know, the rest I disregarded, you know. This program for me is not a buffet. I'll have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know, steps 1 through 12, a God of my own understanding, love and service, stay in 10, 11, and 12. And my prayer every day is, God, show me how I can be of maximum service to you and my fellow man. Bless them. Change me. And I you know, my life has been rocketed into the fourth dimension, and I love program. I love everything about it, and by God's grace and mercy is what I'm doing here today, abstinent, and I wouldn't trade this for anything. So thank you guys for paying a 12-step call on me. I'm Roger, and with that, I'm out.
Thank you so much, Roger V. Jody E. is up next, and after Jody, we'll take another share on page 11, paragraph 1 of Bill's story. It begins with, "To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man." And look forward to hearing your share, Jody. Please share with us.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully, so gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. So I love this paragraph. I love the line, "To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him." There's such a truth in that. And what it asks me to do is to look at how well I am following what I claim, which has been the 12 steps. I am a 12-stepper. I am a recovered member of Overeaters Anonymous. Am I following closely my program, my 12-step program? Am I working all the steps? Am I entirely abstinent? Am I practicing these principles in all my affairs? For years, I did not do that. I was struggling to find a way to do that, to get abstinent, to work the steps, and to practice these principles in all my affairs. And I hope and I pray that I am doing that much better today than I ever have before, and that I can continue to grow in effectiveness and usefulness. That is my prayer. And I believe that I can and am, as I walk every day in this, with all of these steps, steps 1, 2, and 3, 10, 11, and 12, each and every day. It's such a beautiful way of life that has rocketed me into the fourth dimension of existence also. And what a blessing. What a tremendous blessing to know that you're going spiraling up rather than spiraling down as I was for so long. So grateful for all of you that I can share with and listen to. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much for your share, Jody E. And though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So who'd like to comment on page 11, paragraph 1?
Pamela E., California.
Pamela
Carrie W.
E.
Mo H.
Carrie W. and Mo H.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Nadia B.
Nadia B. I've got Pamela E., Carrie W., Mo H., Deborah G., Nadia B. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay, we may have time for a share or two after this. So, Pamela E., please share with us. You'll be followed
Duke
by Carrie W.
Duke R.
Duke R. Thank you, Duke R. Okay.
Hi, this is
please go ahead, Pamela.
Oh, thank you, Pamela E. in California. Thank you so much, and thank everyone on the line today. And what a powerful paragraph. And it's exactly where I needed to be, what I needed to hear this day. And I go back over my life, and I look at my childhood religion, growing up Christian, and then I'm open to every way to that one power. But am I open enough? I love the fact that it's in the book when it says it's simple, but it's not easy, or the slogans. It is so simple. There's a power that's greater than me, that Christ consciousness, that light that is within me, that is within everyone. And when I call on that power, it works. When I try to push through and do it myself, it doesn't work. What am I going to do today? Pray and ask God once again for that miracle. And I hear your shares, and that miracle permeates slowly, easing through your voices, through your truth, and brings me back to God, that Christ consciousness. Today, not my will, God's will be done. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pamela E. Carrie W., please share with us. You'll be followed by Mo H. Star 1 to unmute, please. Carrie W.
I'm sorry. I can be heard now?
Yes.
Thank you, Elaine. Terry W. from Massachusetts. I'm a recovered anorexic and bulimic. And I see this paragraph a little different. When I read the sentence, for myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult, and the rest I disregarded. I look at this as I'm learning a lesson from this paragraph, because it makes me look at the difference between religion and spirituality. And I did the exact same things. The things that I did not understand, I did disregard, or I didn't want to understand, I also disregarded. But today, you know, I really pray to be open to receive those things that I did disregard that God wants me to learn, and not to be closed-minded about that. You know, during the day I walk around and I'm like, you know, is there anything blocking me from God? You know, do I have fear? Do I have resentments? And I do that throughout the day. And, you know, even being closed-minded blocks me from God. So the things that I may have disregarded, maybe there's things that I should be knowing about. So I think that's an important lesson for me, is not to be closed-minded and to, you know, have be open to what God wants me to receive. So that's the lesson I get out of this paragraph. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Terry W. Sorry I was calling you Carrie. I didn't quite catch that. And Mo H., please share with us. You'll be followed by Deborah G.
Yeah. Good morning. Thank you, Elaine, for your service and all those on the line. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict in Northern California. I'm sorry. So I was raised a very devout Catholic in a very Catholic family, Catholic relatives and everything, went to Catholic school, grammar school, and high school, and followed my religion devoutly until there came a point where it wasn't working for me, and I became very angry with God because of a number of things that had transpired. And I really like Bill's writing. He just nails it, you know, the first sentence, to Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man, yes, but not too closely followed by those who claimed him. And I remember there was a joke at our church that, you know, how people rushed out of church and were honking and everything to try to get out of the parking lot. And, you know, what happened to their faith and their belief. But those days, so then I left the church for a long time and tried to find what was right for me, and I found OA, and it really started helping me return to not a religion, but to spirituality. And the way I see religion is in the head, a lot of head knowledge, and spirituality is in my heart, where I just lovingly connect with my higher power. I am closer now and do more praying and more connecting with God on a daily basis than I ever did in my younger years. It's a daily thing for me, where I get up in the morning and meditate. And I, you know, I had conceded for myself, he adopted parts, which can seem convenient. I adopted all of my religion, and I know it's part of me still today. I have gone back, but I take what works for me and I leave the rest. With this program, I have to work the whole 12 steps. I can't just do parts of the program. It's very important for me to work all of the 12 steps, and that recently they have gotten me through just a very, very difficult, sad, lonely, and depressed time. And, you know, just having a connection with a sponsor and continuing to do my morning prayer and meditation, I'm coming through on the other side, and I really am grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you, Mo H. Okay, Deborah G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Nadia B.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, Elaine, for your service this morning, and everyone for their service this morning, making this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. So glad you're here. And thank you all for all the shares and 12-stepping me today. I was reminiscing back growing up, you know, the experiences that I had, Catholic school and everything. And I was very rebellious. I went against everything. You know, I was always fighting the nuns and everything, the whole thing. Anyways, I never grasped any of that. I was going through the motions. And fast forward today, because of doing the program, doing the work, living the steps, living by these principles, you know, I've been, I have this transformation and this deeper relationship with God that's woken me up and keeps me awake when I go unconscious, because I do go unconscious. And now I'm open to all different paths, spiritual path. There's so much out there. I love, and that's what I did when I first started any recovery, explore different paths. And with this path, it's so beautiful because today, the things that I didn't take in or experience or was a part of when I was growing up, like Christ and his teachings, is I'm learning from things. So many things that I'm learning from the things that were taught. And that's because of my openness, my open-mindedness, my willingness, my honesty. It's just like a core connection within myself and within everybody. You know, that it's just a whole different way of looking at things. And I'm so grateful that I've gotten this experience from doing this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Nadia B., you're up next, followed by Duke R.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And I was looking at that word, conceited. And it's so apparent to me today. It's so obvious to me today how this word really, and Bill describes this greatest symptom of alcoholism for me, you know, that's what I found out about myself. Admitting something is true or valid only after denying or resisting it for a time. You know, surrender does not come easily to me. And I, you know, adopted a lot of parts which seem convenient and not too difficult, and disregarded a lot of truth. In a lot of ways, in a lot of aspects of my life, whether it is, you know, and I am talking about Christ. I think there's a teaching where, you know, he talks about seeing a speck in someone else's eye and not seeing a log in your own. And that was my symptom. And I don't know whether it is, you know, I hope that it diminished today, that, you know, symptom where I get to point fingers, I get to look at you and see what you're doing or not doing, or, you know, what kind of food plan you're following. And I definitely, you know, when I came to Waiters Anonymous, I thought that you guys might need, you know, food plans and you might be powerless over, you know, food, but I just need a diet. You know, the steps are written down for you. I just need a meeting. You know, it might be great for you to have a sponsor, but I can probably do this, you know, on my own. And then, you know, eventually it got to the point where you might be doing 10, 11, and 12, but I can just go to a meeting, listen, you know, and just maybe, you know, use a psychological approach. You might need a religion, but Nadia really doesn't. Or, you know, and there are a lot of things like that that really, you know, were apparent to me when I started doing the work, you know, instead of just reading the book, actually following the suggestions, which are, you know, really not suggestions for someone like me, someone with alcoholism, someone with that specific way of thinking that Bill described so well here, where, you know, everything comes after a huge fight, and I was just exhausted fighting this disease, fighting, you know, everything in my life that, you know, was so obvious to everybody else being true. And I would just disregard it. Thank you. And so today this program teaches me to adopt parts which seem inconvenient and sometimes difficult, simple but not easy. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nadia B. Dukar is up next, and we have time for one or two more shares after Dukar. And we're on Bill's story, page 11, paragraph 1. Please share with us, Dukar.
Hi, good morning. My name is Duke, compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. Thank you all for your service this morning. You know, in listening to the reading this morning, I was thinking about page 87. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about those may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. somebody actually at a meeting suggested that I read The Soul of Sponsorship. And The Soul of Sponsorship is actually letters between Father Ed Dowling, who's a Jesuit priest, and Bill Wilson. He actually showed up at the AA clubhouse in New York City in November 1940 and knocked on the door unannounced to Bill, and they developed a relationship. And the book is actually a series of letters of the two of them back and forth, and he actually became Bill's spiritual advisor. And so it's interesting because in my own spiritual development, what I've learned is that Jesus was the person and Christ is the consciousness. And so this is a spiritual program that has a practical application to relieve my alcoholism and eating disorder on a daily basis. And so, you know, I bristled with antagonism about the reference of spiritual things, but I've actually come to embrace them. And I actually found that book very helpful. And there's a lot of interesting letters back and forth. That's all they had back then in terms of communication. And so that's it for me today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your share, Dukar. So we do have time for two or three more shares. We'll go for two shares. And if you would like to comment on what was read, if you haven't commented in the last couple of days, then please press star one to unmute and let me know.
Wally M. from Wisconsin.
Wally M. And one more.
Esther L. from Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts.
Esther L. from Martha's Vineyard. Awesome. Okay, Wally M., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Esther L.
Good morning. This is Wally M., a compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Just recently, with God's help, I am out of relapse. Thank you, God, for this miracle. When I'm in the food, I block out God in my life. Thank you, God, for abstinence, so I can be in connection with you and to seek the way you want me to live. I struggle with a primary relationship. Today, I am grateful to want to be who God wants me to be and to treat others the way God wants me to treat others. I didn't focus on myself when I was growing up. I was trying to fix my parents. I didn't learn how to value myself. I thank God for OA and for counseling to help me learn and believe in my value. I thank God for OA and vision for you in my life, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Wally M. Esther L., you are up next.
Hi, I'm Esther, and I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and bulimic, amongst other things. And I'm having a really different spiritual experience. So I've been a Christian and a believer in God since I was like 3 years old, immersed in the church, a very evangelical church. And I didn't have an issue believing in a higher power. What I had an issue was surrendering to a higher power, surrendering to an authority other than myself because of my circumstances as a child. I knew that God was always with me. Did I give God credit, my higher power credit, as much as I should have? I don't think so. I don't think that I had the reverence for a higher power or the desire to concede. And when I read Bill's story and doing the step work and really thinking about the key word, the willingness, that word just has stood out to me so much, and that it is not even a convincing of a higher power. There's no need to convince. It's just a willingness to consider the possibility that there is something greater than us that has power. And for me, that actually deepened my faith, and that just for today, I just have to be willing to believe that there is a power greater than me that can do what I cannot do for myself, And there's a song or something. I was like, greater is he that is in me than is in the world. There's a song that has those lyrics. And that was something that came up to me this morning in my prayer and meditation. I just thought, yeah, that's really the truth. Greater is he that is in me than is in the world. And so for me, that's what I'm relying on just for today, just for this very moment, not kidding, hour to hour to hour, because only God can do what I can't do. So I appreciate that willingness, that word willingness, and just keeping it very simple. And, you know, my higher power wants me to choose to believe, not to be forced or coerced into believing, just to choose to consider the possibility. So I thank you so much. I love you all.
Thank you very much, Esther L. And okay, well, we're going to transition now and close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Mary B. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of a happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.